Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. BFFT. Live from the home studios presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
Happens all the time. We talk about graduate transfers, and immediately we start talking about them as though they're commodities to be traded, right? Hey, you got a 6'5" wide receiver, graduate transfer. We don't talk about them as people. We don't think about the experience that they're having. Our next guest is doing this right now, and I want to put a human face and a human experience on that graduate transfer process. We talk a lot about the NCAA, what the experience of the coaches are like and the ADs are like and fans are like, but we don't often hear from athletes themselves that are transferring or in the portal. And DeJounay Carrington is a really talented basketball player who has terrific statistics, is a great rebounder. I want to ask her about rebounding, of course. I want to know what that, you know, that's about, but she's also a person who's got 2 degrees from Stanford and is now trying to find the right fit for her at the next level. She's narrowed her choices to Baylor, UConn, and Oregon. I'm not here to convince her to go to one place or another. I'm just here to get to know her a little bit and let you get to know her. And DeJounay Carrington is joining us now. Thank you for making time for us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored.
Let's talk about how weird this process is, because I only saw it on Twitter and then I went, man, people are from all these schools start tweeting at you right away, trying to make a case. Everybody's lobbying you. How weird is it to be in the middle of that?
Yeah, it's actually pretty crazy. It's a blessing, though. I think being able to have this type of a platform has been pretty cool to see. I'm not super big on posting about my personal life on social media, so this was my first post about even like announcing that I'm transferring. But the feedback was pretty cool to see that people kind of see my value on other teams. So it was exciting to see.
You went through this as a high school kid, and let's go back to that. You know, when you made the decision in high school to choose Stanford and this is where you wanted to go to school, how much different of a process is it versus now as a graduate transfer?
Yeah, great question. I think it's completely different. I know so much more now than I knew then. Obviously, I still don't know everything and have a ton to learn, but I think I know better questions to ask, and I know kind of how to see through different things a little bit better. I know more so what I want. I know my identity as a basketball player a little bit better now, having played against the top competition for the past 4 years. So I think it's just a bit of maturity that I have more now.
You obviously, your father played in the NFL for the Chargers. Your brother played in the Pac-12 at Oregon and Utah. You had that experience, mm-hmm. kind of having that guidance from both of them. And now you're going through it yourself. And what kind of advice are you getting from family? And how much did you consult with them when making a big decision like this?
My family has been extremely involved. Obviously, all of us are home right now, if we're able to. So I think it's been a blessing to be able to experience this at home and with my family. Everyone in my family played sports. My sister is one of my inspirations and why I wear the number 21. My mom ran track in college. So everyone kind of has their little sport mindset also. But I know that I can take things to them because I know that they have my best they're looking out for me first and not just for university. So sometimes it's hard to talk to other people because they're so focused on the big names. But my family, I know, has my interests at heart. So it's been good to be able to bounce things off of them.
I love the way you were responding to people on social media. I liked you right away because I was like, you know, people were saying, you know, oh, you're leaving Stanford. Oh, you're doing, why are you doing this? And you were pretty direct. You were pretty direct about it. You have 2 degrees from Stanford. like,
right.
You know, it's not like you're leaving after 6 months at Stanford.
Mm-hmm. Right. Social media is people's way to say whatever they want, usually without a response or to be able to hide behind a computer screen or a phone. I wasn't meaning any disrespect to any of my responses, but it's true. People are saying, oh, well, she's clearly not leaving for academic purposes. But, I mean, I'm in a sense already set in that realm. I have 2 degrees that I've already completed, and there's still a whole other quarter of school at Stanford, so I don't think that that should be anybody's worry whether I'm there academically or not.
Dejanay Carrington is our guest. She is a graduate transfer. She announced yesterday she's transferring, and she's narrowed her choices to Baylor, UConn, and Oregon. Why those three places? What is it? Is it just basketball related, or you've probably been watching college basketball? You know those places well?
I mean, I don't know all of them as well as I wish I would have, because I didn't get to take visits, so I haven't really seen, like, the ins and outs that you see on your official visits and things of that sort. I have seen more of Oregon because, like you had mentioned, my brother went there for 4 years, so I was able to kind of tour their campuses a few times. But I think there's some amazing things about each of the schools, and that's why this decision has been so difficult and has prolonged for this long. I think I'm looking for kind of a good relationship with my coaches. My teammates were outstanding at Stanford, obviously, so I want to continue that, but I just want to go somewhere where I can have an immediate impact and they can put me in the best position to get drafted and to be successful at the next level.
I'm watching The Last Dance. I've got 3 daughters. I want them to be rebounders. I'm watching Dennis Rodman. I'm looking at you too. 5'11". You get like 10 rebounds per 40 minutes. What is a good rebounder? Give us the secret sauce on rebounding.
That's really funny. I actually was watching The Last Dance also, and when Dennis Rodman like kind of broke it down, I was like, that's exactly it. It's not when the shot goes up, most people think, oh, let me turn and sprint to the middle of the paint, or let me turn and sprint to the basket. But it's really watching the ball and kind of trying to track the trajectory of it and estimate where it's coming off. Like he was saying, you look at the spin, you look at where the ball is kind of headed. You don't just run to the rim. And one other thing that I learned from Stanford actually is just boxing out and how much of a difference that makes. Sometimes you have bad position, but if you box out and continue to push them back, the ball is going to have to fall in front of you. And even if you don't get it, if you keep your man off, someone on your team is going to get it. So I don't know. It's just it's really tracking.
I tell rebounders, too, like, you know, you might not get a play that is necessarily called for you, but every time there's a shot, that play is for Dejanay Carrington. Like that is the ball's in the air. That is a play called for you.
I love that. I think that's something that I have really pride myself on, because it's like, what can I control every possession? I can't control whether my shot's going to go in. I'm at least on offense. I can't control whether my shot's going to go in. I can't control whether my pass is going to be perfect or whether my teammate's going to catch the pass. But I can control if I go up and get that rebound. So, and that's easy 2 points right there. I think rebounding is like an easy 8 points a game.
You've had knee surgeries. I'm not a college basketball player. I've had 3 knee surgeries. Mm-hmm. I understand that the mental toll that takes, the psychological feel of that. How are you doing with that, and how do you feel physically?
Yeah, that's been extremely tough. I have had multiple knee surgeries and bounced back from them. But yeah, right now I'm just still rehabbing. I actually just came from physical therapy session, actually. But it's going well. It's good. Every little victory I try to celebrate, whether that's, it looks small to the outsiders, but to me, like, every little thing is something that I'm proud of. And I've really tried to just stay prayed up and stayed in my word. And God has really helped to get me through this, my family, being around them and having that encouragement. And then also just when I entered the portal, you know, it's always like, okay, like, what schools are going to kind of come talk to you. But just seeing that the schools that I was interested in were interested in me also was a really big, like, confidence boost for me and kind of to get me in the right frame of mind moving forward into my last year. Just to see that these schools haven't lost confidence in me and they know what I'm capable of has just helped to remind me that I need to think the same way.
I was at the Final Four last year covering a Final Four that had three of the four teams that you're interested in, and it's got to feel good to you to have UConn, Baylor, and Oregon, who you all know will be contenders, who are all saying, yeah, you can help us. Here's how you can help us. How much do you look at Sabrina Ionescu? Because I know you were in the same class as her as a high school player.
Yeah.
How much do you look at her? And by the way, what was it like to play against her? And what do you think made her good?
Yeah, Sabrina, she's a good friend of mine also. So, I mean, I've been so happy for her to see the success that she has had, well-deserved, earned, all of that. It's always tough playing a player like Sabrina. There's not too many like her. Probably won't be another like her for a minute. But she's a great player, and I think it's her pace. She's always under control, and she's serving the whole floor. So in her mind, she's a step ahead of everyone on defense, and I think that's what makes her so great. And then it's just her accuracy. I mean, whether that's her passes, I think that makes a big difference. Whether you're putting your passes right on the dime, right on the money, that's how you build your assists. She's had a great supporting cast to finish those plays and to help her rebound and things of that sort. But I think it's her mindset and her pace that has really set her apart. But yeah, I think it's having seen the success that she had and seeing how Coach Kelly has really allowed her to blossom into the player that she is today is encouraging and definitely a reason why I am considering Oregon.
Your timeline for a decision, you know, we all think of this as in our terms. I mean, the basketball programs are going, okay, we'd love to have her, and the fans are going, we'd love to have her. But let's flip that around. Let's look at it through your lens. You're probably at home now, around family. You've got a summer ahead of you. We don't know what really is going to happen in the fall. How does this all affect, you know, your timeline for really making an official decision?
Yeah, initially I wanted to wait until I potentially would get to take my official visits to the school, but it obviously looks like that's not going to happen, and I've kind of come to terms with that. So I don't really have a timeline. I don't want to rush myself into a decision, and none of the schools that I'm considering are rushing me. And I feel like if a school was rushing me, that would also be a sign that that's not the place for me, because this is a big decision, and I only have one shot at it. I don't get to go back and be like, okay, I'll try again next year. This is my last shot at picking the right school. So I think I'm just trying to take my time, trying to learn as much as I can about each of these institutions and each of these teams and coaches, and trying to really talk to the players on these teams, because that's who I'm going to spend 90% of my time with at the school. So I'm just trying to be patient with myself. And when I feel like this is the decision, I'm going to make it. I'm not like, If I wake up tomorrow and I'm like, this is where I'm going to go, then I'll make that decision. But whenever it feels right.
I have a daughter who's in high school. She's a volleyball player, and she grew up with me going to her volleyball club volleyball games. You were a volleyball player as well. Were you a club player? Did you balance both sports, or how'd you do that?
I did do club. I did both. Yeah. I played outside hitter, and I was only able to play two seasons, though, in high school, so I played my freshman and my junior season because I tore my ACLs in August of right before my sophomore year, and then August right before my senior year. So, volleyball is a fall sport in California, so I wasn't able to play those two seasons, so I wasn't able to do club in high school.
You know what I really want to see? Because our research staff tells me that you are double jointed, and that you can jump. You can jump rope using your own arms. Is this true?
Yes, this is true. This is so crazy. I don't even know how I discovered it. I was at home. I don't even know what show I was watching. Maybe it was like America's Got Talent or something like that. And someone was trying to do it on TV, and they like got stuck. And I was like, oh, you know, I could do that. And my siblings were like, do not try it. Do not try it. You're gonna break yourself. Like, you're going to hurt your arm. I was like, I'm going to just try it. And, like, I pushed and pushed and pushed, and my shoulder just popped, and it didn't hurt. And I was like, look. And I've been able to do it since, like, I don't know, third grade, second grade.
Do you just, like, pull that out as, you know, who's got a talent, and you just start skipping rope with your own arms?
Yeah, I honestly, I haven't done it in a while. I used to do it, like, be like, hey, guys, look what I can do when I was younger in, like, junior high, high school. But I haven't done it much in college.
We're talking to Dejanay Carrington. She is a graduate transfer. She's looking for a new basketball program, leaving Stanford with 2 degrees. Now, what do you want to do with your life? Because I know, I think you've got 1 degree. Are you a psychologist? You have a psychology degree, and do you have African-American studies degree? Is that right?
Yes, yeah, psychology and African and African-American, yeah.
What do you want to do after basketball?
After basketball, yeah, my plan is to go back to school eventually. I'm definitely going to need to take a break from school for a while. But my plan is to go back and then become either a forensic psychologist or a behavioral analysis profiler. So I want to work with serial offenders and try to figure out why they're doing what they're doing, where's the root, try to get to the root of those problems, and then infiltrate at the root and kind of stop that from happening in more people's lives.
I am fascinated by that. It's like that. What do you watch a show that has a character that you would want to be like, you know? And I'm thinking like, you know, there's so many Netflix shows that have like tangents of this. I could see Dejanay like as a CIA operative or a profiler.
I know. I like Criminal Minds. There's like a behavioral analysis unit, so they build profiles of offenders, and in order to help like different police forces find the criminal. But I think the show that really sparked this for me is called Lie to Me, and it's an older show. It doesn't run anymore, but probably like 2006 or so. It's about this guy, Dr. Lightman, and he reads people based on nonverbal cues. So he like charts your eye movements, your different micro expressions on your face, things like that, respiratory changes, all of those sorts of things. So a lot of nonverbal things.
Do you think that naturally that some people are better than others at just reading? Like, we always talk about things like gut instinct, or you read the Malcolm Gladwell book, you know, about you know, just blink, right? You that first impulse you have. I think some people are just better at it, have better instincts. You agree with that? Or do you think you have good instincts, like on reading people?
I think I have good instincts. I do agree with that. I hope I do, because I'm going to kind of have to make this decision.
Yeah. It's so true, because I can think back, like, I remember being in high school, I remember having options in college, and I remember being so overwhelmed with the whole process. Where are you going to go? Oh, it's this big life decision. It'll determine who your friends are. It'll determine who you marry. This is such an and now we're finding out that, you know, life is just not like that. It's not like a fork in the road. And here you are. You did the Stanford thing. Now you get a chance to do something else. I think it's great. I think it's great that college kids can do that.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think it's great. I know there's a rule that's coming up to whether they're going to pass it or not for everyone to have this opportunity without penalty, and not just seniors. But I think the students should be allowed to transfer if that's what they think is necessary. Now, I'm not an advocate for just being able to bounce around or going and spending 1 year out of school and you not playing, so you transfer, things like that. But I think, like me being at the school for 4 years and knowing myself, I think students should be able to transfer and be able to make that decision for themselves, just like coaches and administrators and everyone else can, without penalty.
I saw the name and image likeness stuff. I didn't love it. I think it doesn't do enough, but I'm curious, you know, from your standpoint, you're an athlete. It looks like athletes in the future, it might not happen in your time, but in the future, are going to be able to make some money using their own endorsement. I think it's a long time coming. Where do you stand on that? What's the chatter on that issue as you see the headlines?
Yeah, I think student athletes should be able to. I was actually having this conversation with my dad and my godfather, and we were like, every other profession in college, every other college student who has a profession is able to make money. And just because our profession, in a sense, even though we're amateurs, our profession is sports, athletics, basketball for me, why don't we get to make money? Students can work at Stanford. Many students have their own businesses and things of that sort, and they're able to make money off that. But for us, we're not able to. And I think that that would really help a lot of students with their families, because there's a lot of people who are sending money back to their families, who are sending their cost of attendance stipends back home, and aren't just pocketing that money. And I think that being able to use their image and likeness would absolutely be able to help those families, those communities. And, I mean, I think that they should have, like, stipulations and things of that sort, but I don't see why student athletes shouldn't be able to.
When's the last time you ate beef?
I haven't eaten beef since 8th grade, so 8 years.
Now, what was there some documentary you watched, or you just made a decision? What happened?
No, I made this decision before all those documentaries came out. I was kind of the trailblazer with that. No, I'm kidding. But in 8th grade, I don't know, it's the weirdest story. I had a basketball tournament, and it was like in Norco, California area, and like they had cows on their campus, and I was just like, oh my gosh, like it was like up close and personal. It's like, these are so cute, like they're so cute, and I just started to feel so bad because you saw like the bells and the branding and all of that. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I cannot eat this. Like I already have one stomach, and so seeing that close up, I said, I won't eat beef. I don't know how long it's going to last, but I'm going to try not to eat beef. And the crazy thing is, that tournament, I ended up winning MVP, and they gave me a gift card to In-N-Out. I was like, oh, my gosh. What are the odds of this? Yeah, so that's how that happened. I'm a really picky eater in general, though, so.
Dejanaya Carrington is our guest. Before I cut you loose, I really appreciate you making time for us, and I just think it's important because I think, you know, so many times we think about you guys as basketball players and athletes and not about, you know, as people. And you've got a decision to make. I'm glad that you're exercising it. You've got that freedom to do it. This is a weird time. We're all at home. I'm doing this radio show from home. My kids are like right inside the house and I'm in the home studio. It's weird. You're at your house trying to figure out what you're going to do with your the rest of your life. How weird has it been to have this go to be home and have this going on? Nobody saw this coming.
Yeah, nobody saw this coming. Exactly. I mean, first and foremost, I'm blessed and grateful that I'm able to be home and that I had the means to travel home and my family can support me and things of that sort, and that I'm healthy and everyone around me is healthy, and I just pray that for everyone else in the world. But yeah, it's been crazy, and this isn't how I wanted it to go down as far as the transfer portal and not being able to visit these schools and everything being on Zoom and FaceTime and texting and all of that, because I'm a very relational person and I like face-to-face interactions. I think that's how you kind of tell who a person really is by talking with them in person. But I mean, we got to make the best of our situation. It could be worse. Thankfully, we have all these social media platforms to be able to reach out to different coaches and different schools and stuff. But I don't know. I'm just trying to take it day by day, trying to learn as much as I can and not allow the glamour of these schools to overshadow the words that these coaches and their players are saying. So I'm just trying to be wise and use discernment in my conversations with coaches and schools.
All right. I'm going to test you as a forensic psychologist, criminologist. I'm going to tell you three things. Two of them are going to be truthful. One of them is going to be a lie. You have to spot the lie. Are you ready?
This is hard because I'm not a person. Remember, I read multiple microexpressions.
I'll try. See if you can get this. All right. Okay. Number one, I grew up, my dad is a professional baseball player. Number two, I raised pigs as a kid. We had pigs. Number three, I love bungee jumping. I cannot wait for the next time I go.
I'm going to go with two.
The truth is, I've never been bungee jumping. You would have got that in person, though, and I know you would have.
I think so. I would have read your face.
The next time we talk. Dejanay, I wish you the best. Thank you for putting a human face on what is, I think, a really tricky process, and I appreciate you giving us some of your time, and I wish nothing for the best for you. No matter where you pick, I think you're going to be successful.
Thank you so much for allowing me to have this opportunity. Appreciate it.
All right. We'll have you back on regardless, all right? No matter where you end up, we'll have you back on and talk about it. All right. Dejanay Carrington, wish you the best. Stay safe.
Thank you. You too.
All right. There she is. Basketball player. She's got, you know, she'll grow up and be that criminologist. I know the listeners of the show got it. Love that interview. I want to get Alabama Adriana's her take on it as well. But Adriana, what did you think of Dejanay Carrington?
I think she's great. She sounds like someone I want to hang out with.
Exactly. That's what I thought of. You and her hanging out at that club that you were talking about in Chinatown when this is over.
I would never take her to Dirty. That'd be terrible.
All right. Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth statewide. Really enjoyed that interview with Dejanay Carrington, basketball player. I'm being genuine when I say I don't care where she goes to college. I don't. I hope she makes a decision that's right for her. She got 2 degrees from Stanford. If she wants to be on the West Coast, she wants to play in the Pac-12, wants to go to a program I think that could use her right away, Oregon would fit. I'm sure Baylor and UConn would also love to have her. It's not that often that a player that can give you 10 rebounds per 40 minutes at 5'11 and play good defense and score some McDonald's All-American as a high school player. It's just not that often that a player like that is available. But what a great soul and spirit. That was the takeaway I had. And when Adriana said she's someone that she would want to hang out with, that's exactly what I thought Adriana was going to say, because she's just got some spark. She's got some spark, and she was talking about jumping rope. Think about this. She's double jointed, and her arms are long. And this is why we have a research staff. The minute we know Dejanay is coming on the show, they are doing nothing but poring over things that have been written, videos, YouTube channels, social media, looking for different facts that are interesting about this person. Because I've got 10 or 15 minutes to interview him. Dejanay Carrington has the ability to jump rope using her own hands. Using her own hands. My wife has stepped in studio. Can you put a visual on that? She can jump.
Don't you have to use your own hands to jump
rope? No, but not as a rope. As the rope. She holds her own hands.
Oh, wow.
She can. I can't even touch my hands together behind my back, barely.
That's a skill. She could always fall back on that.
Double joint. She said she saw it on America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
Sitting in the living room with her siblings and said, I could do that. And then she did it.
That's amazing.
She also doesn't eat meat.
Oh, well.
Hasn't for a while. How you doing?
A lot of people are in that boat, huh?
What have you been doing
today?
We
tried that for like a week. We were like vegan for a week, and then it didn't stick.
I think it's okay to be vegan for a meal. You know what I mean?
I think it's okay to be vegan for your whole life if
I don't
you
think
want.
So.
I'm just saying it wasn't really for us. We tried it.
I don't think it's
really
okay.
Commit to it.
I don't think it's okay to be vegan for life.
You can't say that. Come on.
I think it's too extreme. I'm talking about militant vegan.
No, all the studies show all the benefits of a plant-based diet. Like, I believe it. Olympic athletes are going that way.
Herschel Walker did it. But here's the thing. You still need protein, and you can get protein in other ways. I get that. But I also think it's a little much to just say, for me, it's a little much to say, this is the direction I'm going. I'm not eating any meat. She hasn't had beef in 8 years.
It's not even just meat. I think the hard thing for us was like dairy. I think we realized in that 7 days that we tried to be vegan how much dairy we consumed.
I don't know when that 7 days was, because I was not trying to be vegan for 7 days.
Were you cheating?
I remember a couple of meals. Did this happen? Are you sure it was me?
Yes.
I tried to be vegan?
We tried it for like a week. Remember, I bought like Beyond Meat and...
Okay, you're right.
And like non-dairy cheese that like not cheese.
Yeah, I had wiped it from my memory banks. And also, I was so famished that I can't remember any of it. My brain was not functioning. I was so hungry.
We needed to stick with it. I think we could have done it if we'd stuck with it.
I noticed that Dejanay said she doesn't eat beef. Mm-hmm. Do you notice what she did there? She didn't say I'm not. She didn't say I'm vegan. She just doesn't eat beef.
Mm.
See, that's a stand I could get behind. Because if you said, all right, because I think it's reasonable. I think it's too extreme to say things like I'm going to be militant vegan, like no milk, no dairy, no, you know, not doing anything.
Yeah.
By choice? That's a that's by choice?
I know. By the end of the 7 days, we were ready for a juicy steak.
I don't remember it being 7 days. That's the other thing. What did you do today? You were gone this morning.
I don't even know. I'm so tired today. I don't know why. What did we do today? We skipped school today.
What do you mean you skipped?
We played hooky.
You blew off school.
Just because I didn't have it in me today.
That's interesting. I didn't get a vote in that.
No. Well, you weren't really participating that part of the day, so I got to be principal and teacher all in one.
You just basically were like the teacher who showed up to school, looked around the classroom, and said, not today.
It just wasn't happening. Like, the unit I was supposed to do was on, like, recycling, and I was supposed to, like, the curriculum from the teachers was that I was supposed to get our garbage and our recycling bins out, take our garbage and recycling bin out, and then have our 3-year-old sort it and decide what is supposed to be garbage, what is supposed to be recycling. No. I opened both bins and I was like, I can't do this.
Hold on. There are male listeners right now across the state of Oregon and Southern Washington who are hearing this discussion, because all I could think about as you said that was, hold on, I have a 3-year-old's job, because that's the job I do.
I
put the garbage and the recycling out, and the preschool teacher is saying, hey, this would be a good exercise for our preschoolers.
Yes.
Because I got to be honest with you, sometimes I stand by the can and I look at something like a milk carton, or I look at something like, you know, plastic wrap that was around something else. And I sit there and I'm just baffled on, is this a recyclable or not?
Yep. Sometimes there's like those in-betweens.
What do you do with a milk carton that is like the normal half-gallon paper-ish
milk carton? That's not an in-between. That's a totally recyclable item.
How about the lid to it, the little screw top? Is that supposed to go in, or is it supposed to go in the garbage?
Well, now you're getting into the weeds.
Yeah, because you don't know the answer. That's why you're avoiding answering right now.
Well, I'm in avoidance mode completely, because I took a look at it and I went, nope, no school today. I can't do it.
Can't do the garbage. All right, coming up, I want to ask you about your appearance on yesterday's show. There's been a lot of discussion about that. I had a bunch of people email me and...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.